I want to continue the sermon this morning. I want to continue last week's sermon called Secrets Overcomers Know, Part 2. So we began to examine this concept that there are life happens to everybody, and some of it is beautiful and some of it stinks. Some of it is just the stuff that you dream of, and some of it is the stuff that you dream of for your enemies. But we tend to see some people navigate the realities of life well, and some people don't navigate them well, and I'm intrigued by that reality. The scriptures are full of stories of people who did profound things in God, and when you read their stories, you soon come to see that because they had a faith, a vibrant walk with God, did not exclude them from the realities of life. In fact, in Psalm 73, David, when he says, my feet had almost slipped, for I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Their bodies are healthy, they have no financial pressures, everything's rosy and peachy with them. He says, and then there's a little phrase, he says, they are free from the ills that are common to man. It looks like there's some people out there that they never have any problems. And it's just poor people like us who have to deal with, you know, hardships. Well, the reality is everybody deals with hardships. Some people deal well with them, and some people deal poorly with them. But if you look at David, for example, we know him, you know, we have this great picture of David as the king, but he didn't start there. David spent years in terrible circumstances, just being hounded and harassed, and his wife was taken from him and given to another man. He was called a rebel. The entire nation of Israel said his name as a swear word. He was being chased and hounded. Even his enemies mocked him. So he was in a tough place. But in the middle of all of that, we have his Psalms that were written, many of them in these most dire of circumstances. And he speaks of how beautiful and kind and faithful and powerful the Lord is. And you have to ask yourself, how did he get that? Because it's normal for people to go through those kind of circumstances and come out sour and small and ascribe to God mean-spiritedness and not greatness. Which David wrote the psalm, he said, ascribe greatness to the Lord. How kind is our God? And you go, David, you sort of seem to be out of touch with reality. And then there are the psalms where David goes, man, life is horrible, but God is good. So it kind of spurred me to go, I'd like to know some of those secrets. Secrets that overcomers know. What do they know that helps them walk through the tough times in life with a clarity of focus and with a joy in their spirit? And so that's what we looked at last week. And we looked at, firstly, last week, that if you have this understanding, this secret, if you know the secret, it'll help you, that the time of tears is for sowing. That he who goes out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will come back laughing with a great harvest. And we realize that the season that you sow in is different to the season that you reap in. And the season of reaping is full of joy and laughter, but the season of sowing is often attended by tears. And so if you're in a season of tears, the best thing you could possibly do is weep your way through sowing. Sow prayers, sow confessions, sow hope in the time of tears. It gives you something to do, but more than that, it architects a future that is much better than the present. Secondly, we said secrets that overcomers know. Kingdom stuff is eternal. Earth stuff is temporary. Because this world and its desires will pass away. The attack of the enemy has come to pass. It will change. The enemy cannot sustain eternal pressure. Jesus Christ is the eternal. God's love from everlasting to everlasting. God's love is with those who fear him. God is eternal. Kingdom stuff is eternal. Earth stuff is temporary. And if you get that, it changes where you invest. It changes what has the power to move you. A moment of indigestion does not make you decide, I'm never eating again. Right? So if you get that clear, that'll help. So let me pick up and carry up on that kind of idea. Secrets overcomers know. When I am afraid, it's time to refocus. When I am afraid, it's time for refocus. Fear comes because I have a bad focus. When I focus on the wrong things, or when I focus on things that the enemy suggests to me are appropriate to focus on, the typical result and the fruit of that focus is fear and diminishment, and I lose self-confidence, I lose my confidence in God. Suddenly, the wind and the waves look magnificent and unbeatable, but if I will turn my face to the Lord, He suddenly looks magnificent and unbeatable, and the wind and the waves find their space. Many times the enemy comes like a dragon, and excuse my drawing, but many times the enemy will jump up in your life and go, wah, and you look and go, oh my goodness, look at that, look at the teeth, look at the claws, how powerful, wah, and then you go, oh, what am I going to do? And then typically this is what the Lord does for me. He shows me this picture. Then the dragon takes his... Like, oh, yeah, he is an impressive dragon, but he's in trouble. Because the Bible says, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. So for me, what happens is that the enemy goes, wah, and if I take my focus off the Lord and I focus it on this tiny little dragon like that, I go, oh, that's what it is. And then the more I focus on, this is what happens. It just goes, boom. And then I'm going, oh. I don't know if God can deal with this issue. I know He's God, but you know, this. Look how big the dragon is. And so I've discovered that if you want to learn the secrets that overcomers know, is that if I'm in a place where I'm fearful, especially where fear seems to be on the inside, I understand it's time to refocus. My focus has gone wrong. Am I preaching to anybody in the room? My focus has got out of whack, because you can only focus on one thing at a time. This is true in the natural. It's true in the spirit. Hold up your hand like this. Look at the edge of your finger. I'm glad I cleaned my nails. Now look at somebody on the other side of the room. Can you focus on your finger and somebody on the other side of the room at the same time? One of them is going to be out of focus. You have to choose where you focus, friends, and that's entirely up to you. You have spiritual muscles that are called to focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. There are a number of scriptures that says, fix your eyes on the author and the perfecter of your faith. Why? Because if you can learn to this habit of focus, the more you focus on the Lord Jesus and on His majesty and on His power, things take their proper perspective in my life. Because all things were created for Him and by Him. When I keep my eyes on Him, the universe makes sense. And though I'm going through the toughest of times, if my eyes are on Him, it feels like I'm standing on an ocean of peace and walking through life. If I focus on what makes me fearful, I become more fearful. If I focus on what makes me peaceful, I become more peaceful. And if I am in fear, I need to refocus. So Psalm 56, this is what David said. When I am afraid, I put my trust in You. In God, whose word I praise. In God I trust and am not afraid, for what can mere mortals do to me? When I am afraid, David said, okay, let's just be honest. I'm petrified right now. So what do I do now? Because we could all try and look as spiritual as we can, but every one of us at some point in life has hit that moment of terror, of fear. I don't know what's going on. Sometimes it's justified. Sometimes it's because of my own stupidity. Sometimes it's purely the enemy who wants to send a package to your door. It's got your name on it. The UPS, the devil service, or whatever, DPS, you know, a devil package servicing. He sends a package to your door. It's got your name on it. He goes, like, this is for you. Look, it's yours. But you don't have to sign for that one. You could say, no thanks, keep your baggage. I'm not taking your fear on board. I'm not taking your discouragement on board. I'm not taking that. But I think all of us, in those moments when we are afraid, David said, when I am afraid, this is what I do. I put my trust in the Lord. And let me tell you who he is. He's the Lord whose word I praise. And there's a key in that concept. You say, Greg, tell me now, what should I focus on? We should focus on his promises. David said, when I am afraid, I put my trust in the God whose word I praise. Every person's words come from the overflow of their hearts and therefore take on their essential nature. Jesus said, your words swing by what is coming out of your heart. Your words are like containers, little vessels, little oil tankers that swing by your heart. Whatever is the overflow of your heart fills up the words and they come out of your mouth. And so that's why you can sit and listen to somebody who is full of faith and you hear their words and your faith gets, you're like, I don't know what happened, but I came out ready to take on some things. Let's go kill something. You know, let's go do this. And if you listen long enough to somebody who's in fear, you start to get fearful. Why? Because the words are just containers. But words take on the essential nature of the person who's speaking them. Words from the Prince of Peace and from the Comforter and from the Spirit of Grace will produce that essential nature in your heart. You cannot talk for a long time to the Prince of Peace without that peace owning your heart. You can't talk with the Comforter for very long without comfort being spread through your being. You can't talk to the Spirit of Grace and come away with legalism in your heart. No, the words take on the essential nature of the person who speaks them. And words that come from the thief and from the accuser of the church and from the father of lies will stir those feelings in us, which we choose to meditate on will affect our lives greatly. When I am afraid, I will trust in you, the God whose word I praise. I am going after the promises of God. And so when I am afraid, the best thing I can do is I flip open my journal to all the list of the key scriptures that God has spoken over Michelle and I. I'll flip open and just read them again. And I'll turn to all the key prophecies that we've had from people that I would respect in the Lord, key prophets, and they've spoken out things over our lives. And we've had this on 4 or 5 different continents from 20 different people, and they say essentially the same thing. And that freaks me out because they didn't speak to each other. And I like that, and I flip through and I read the promises again. And it's a very, very cool thing. I go to the Lord, I go, look, I know you didn't forget, but I forgot some of these, but this is what you said. The God whose word I praise. And I would like to say to everybody in the room, if you don't have that, I'd like to encourage you to go home and get a list of scriptures that those are the scriptures that always kind of jump out of the Bible at you. And through different times in your life and different phrases, they've been key scriptures, the ones that you treasure in your heart. I would say write them down somewhere. Put them all in one place. And if you're accustomed to prophetic words, and especially key prophetic words, put them down in one place. And read them again and again. Meditate on them. David said, my eyes stay open throughout the watches of the night that I might meditate on your promises. Paul said to Timothy, he said, fight this good fight of the faith in line with the promises that were given you. When we prophesied over you, Timothy, we laid our hands on you. We released you to an apostolic office, and prophetic words came. He says, now take those promises and fight the fight of faith with the promises. Many times we want to get into the arena in the spirit. We want to fight the fight of faith because the fight of faith is not the physical fight. The battle is not a physical one. It's a spiritual one. We want to engage in a spiritual battle with natural weapons. Brought a knife to a gunfight. It doesn't work well. If you want to engage the spiritual battle, a battle's always spiritual, the fight of faith, you have to work with promises. Promises are a currency in the kingdom. There's a massive comfort to be gained by refocusing on what God has said. I'm feeling a little down. Well, what did the Lord say? Oh, I can't remember. That's why. I'm feeling a little discouraged. Well, what's the word of the Lord? I don't know. I understand your discouragement. Both the written word, the scriptures that have resonated in your heart, and the prophesied word, both the word of God, no matter where it comes from, written or breathed, these are the treasures that God gives you. His promises are a great favor in the kingdom. And if you learn to love them, they'll not only be proven in your life and they'll be proven true, but they'll keep you in line with God's will until they are proven. They're a kingdom currency. I want to take you to Hebrews 7 because I want to just show you this little concept of scripture. Some of you may not know this. But Melchizedek, there's a story, and Melchizedek was the king of Salem. Nobody knew where he came from. He had this indestructible life, and so he's a type of Jesus. But Melchizedek comes out of Jerusalem. Abraham has just won a great victory, and Abraham tithes to Melchizedek. In other words, he pays homage to him as the king of that city, and he pays him tithe, which was the culture of the day. And Melchizedek then, in return, blesses Abraham. And this is the interesting thing. It says, this man, Melchizedek, did not trace his descent from Levi, yet he collected a tenth from Abraham and blessed him who had the promises. See, this is key. Abraham was recognized as the man who had the promises. Because God had promised him, I will bless every nation of the earth through you. I will send the Messiah through your line. I will give you an inheritance of land. You will be above and not beneath. Your name will be held in high esteem. I will give you a name like the greatest of the men of the earth. Abraham had not manifested a little of what God had promised him, but Melchizedek said, whoa, 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 whoa. Shh, everybody. That guy's got the promises of God. He blessed him who had the promises, hadn't walked in it yet, hadn't seen the manifestation, but Melchizedek honored him. Oh, he's got the promises of God on his life. It's currency. You can take it to the bank. Just because it hasn't manifested yet doesn't mean anything. When God spoke it to you, he gave it to you as a treasure. You are somebody who bears the promises. Let's bless those who bear the promise. That was for about 10 people in the room. Praise God. That's going to bless some of you. Some of you in a few years. That's fine. So I want to say, make a list of the things that Jesus has said to you. Meditate on his promises. I don't know how else to say this. We stepped into an arena. If you're not aware that you stepped into an arena, you're going to get hurt. If you're aware you stepped into an arena, if you're alert, and you understand, there's some things I need to do to train myself up to be competent, not just competent, but to be an overcomer in this arena. See, Jesus never ever called his bride to get into this realm of faith and to get beaten up. What kind of husband does that? No, Jesus called his bride in and he wants to train her. He said, now, honey, you can take him. Go and take him. Make him pay. See, no bridegroom does that except to a bride that he knows can do it. Take names and kick butt, honey. But if we're going to step into this realm of faith, there are some exercises. There are some training. There are some things we need to do. That's what I'm telling you. If you say, well, Greg, when I'm afraid, what must I do? You must focus. What do I focus on? You focus on the promises of God. If you don't have a list of the promises of God, there's homework for you. Not because I'm trying to equip you. Let me just hit the pause button and a caveat on the men's thing next Saturday. Next Saturday is dedicated to five things, five mechanisms of equipment. I'm not interested in talking again. Dion and I are going to be sharing. I'm not interested in just more information. What we're really shooting for is some mechanism where we can equip the men so that you can go home and be the conqueror. That's what that's about. So read them out loud to the Lord. Remind yourself in his presence that this is what he said and that he's the God who never lies. What else should I focus on? You should focus on his promise. You should focus on his nature. Whatever you focus on will become large in your head. Whatever you focus on long enough will become big in your life. That's what David said, I will set before my eyes no vile thing. He says, because the Lord is with me, I have set my eyes on him. I have set before my eyes no vile thing. Because he is at my right hand, I'll not be shaken. There is a focus that needs to come. I focus on the goodness of God, number one. So let's talk about David, and you see this all over David's psalm. I'm just using David as the example because he's the guy who, let me show you this. David, his wife was taken away and given to another man. He was hounded. He was beat. Even his own men wanted to kill him at some stage. And that guy, in the middle of desperate and dire, horrible circumstances, is saying things like this, good and upright is the Lord. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. He just wrote that. They wanted to kill him that same day. They were discussing how to kill him. The Lord delivered him out of their hands, and he wrote that. I'm so confident I'm going to see God's goodness while I'm alive. Can't see it anywhere for love or money. There's nothing good on the horizon in any direction, but I am confident of this. I'm going to see God's goodness. He didn't write that sitting on the throne with people were dripping grapes into his mouth. He wrote that hungry, destitute. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Greg, what should I focus on? Just focus on the goodness of the Lord. But Greg, you don't understand my circumstances. Well, I'm just telling you, if you focus on your circumstances, it's going to look like a massive dragon. If you focus on the Lord, it's going to look like a giant foot about to squish the massive dragon. Greg, you don't understand. I'm hurting. I do understand. When you're in that situation, the best thing you can do is refocus. Focus on his faithfulness. That's what David did. He just said, your love, O Lord, reaches to the heaven. Your faithfulness stretches to the skies. He just walked out and looked up because that's how big the faithfulness of God is. Teach me your way, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. But you, Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. This is David just speaking out confession, just going, I'm going to meditate on you all day long. I'm going to take my focus. I am going to say to myself, wake up and think right. It's time for me to focus on my God. Let me tell you about him. Extol him. This is why the Lord requires worship from his people. Not because he is a misogynistic God who goes, now come and worship me, I need it. No, because the best and kindest thing for God to say to you is come and praise me. Because while you praise him, you do this. You focus on his majesty. You let it come out of your mouth, out of your own mouth, out of your own life comes the praises of God. And what that does for you is profound. It's not like God has a broken ego and needs. He says, come, worship me. Come. Come and taste. Come and see. Come and spend time with me and extol my name. Because the more you worship and the more you focus on him, the bigger he becomes and the more glorious. Make his praise glorious. His power. It is remarkable to me how quickly we forget the power of God. It's remarkable to me how much people think that God does not move today, that God is unwilling to move in our lives. And the people who focus on God's power and who see it happening and who keep the testimonies and who speak about it, they start to see more and more power. And the more power you see demonstrated, the easier it becomes to go, yeah, well, of course God does that. And I've seen some people functioning in great power on a regular basis. Why? Because God has favorites? No, because they chose to focus on his power, not on the devil's power. Have you seen the financial markets? Have you seen the Lord Jesus? I don't mind you looking at the financial markets. Just don't look at it more than you look at Jesus. Yeah, I get it. Oh, have you seen the political mess we're in? Yeah. Have you seen the kingdom of God? Yeah. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. What should I focus on, Greg? You focus on his power. Focus on his love. I'm just picking a few attributes. There's a bunch of them. The Lord's unfailing love surrounds those who trust in him. The Lord's unfailing love. There's not one second where there's an intermittent unfailing love. And Paul says you need revelation to grasp, to get, because it'll blow your little mind. He says, I'm praying that God open you. He says, I pray that you be strengthened in your inner man so that you can have the power to grasp, just to get, just to understand how long and wide and high and deep is the love of Christ. And that you may ginos, that you may experience that love. The Lord's unfailing ocean of love surrounds those who trust in him. You are about 3 miles deep in the middle of the Atlantic of God's love. That's the truth. But Greg, I'm worried about the financial markets. I understand. I get it. But do you know you're 3 miles deep in the middle of the Atlantic of the love of God? And he's the father who said, not even a sparrow lands without me knowing it. And I sell sparrows for 2 for a penny. You worth so much more. Do you understand? It's not that there aren't financial realities or political realities or other fears or sickness or there's a lot of fearful things out there. They just have no power to even come close to competing with the glory of our God. And where you choose to focus will have a profound impact on what settles in your heart. Peter is walking on the water. He said, if it's you, tell me to come. And Jesus said, come. He goes, ooh. I didn't think that whole process through, right? Jesus said, no, come, Peter. So he goes, okay. Hey, look at me. Then he looks at the waves. Oh, those are big waves. Oh, that's ferocious wind. Oh, I'm out here in the middle of the... Oh, glug, 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 glug. In a time of fear, in a season of fear, when I am afraid, it's time to refocus. So I want to do it. You get the concept? I feel like I could have taught it better. Don't need to. I'd like to do it now. And I know this is somewhat different, and you may not be accustomed to this. But I'd like to just go on a little bit of a meditation, because I'd like to just, for the next few minutes, invite you to turn your attention off the realities of your circumstances, off the fears of your life, off the concerns over your kids, over your finances, over your health, over your future. I'd like to just hit the pause button. If you really want to go back to worrying about all of that, I promise you it'll still be there in 15 minutes, okay? If you could just hit the pause button on all of those, and let's just put our eyes on our King. Because I think in the next 5 to 10 minutes, some of the most beautiful, life-giving, encouraging things are going to happen in our lives. Because if I could just get you and me to hear from our King, then it's going to flip the whole thing on its head. Everything will be in order. Everything will be in perspective. So I'm going to invite you to close your eyes. I'm just going to read to us some scriptures from Isaiah 40 and Hebrews and make some comments. Isaiah 40, verse 25. To whom will you compare me? Who is my equal, says the Lord? Who right now in your life are you comparing God to? Is there anyone or anything that you think is his equal? Perhaps even stronger than him? To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all of these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls forth each of them by name. Billions and billions and billions of galaxies, of stars. Not just named the galaxies, he named each star. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. So why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord? My cause is disregarded by my God. Do you see how magnificent he is? He created the heavens, and by his power they exist. He knows their names. Someone with that much power who created you and has a dream and a destiny for your life. Why do you say, my way is hidden and my cause is disregarded? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord, our Lord, is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary. His understanding of you, his understanding of your circumstances, his understanding of your heart, his understanding of your needs, no one can fathom. For he gives strength to the weary. You're feeling weary in any area? Just receive his strength right now. He increases the power of the weak. You're feeling weak or stunned or hopeless in any area? Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run, not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Let me read you from Hebrews 12. You did not come to a mountain that can be touched and that's burning with fire like they did in Israel, to darkness and to gloom and to a storm, or to a trumpet blast with such a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged that no further word be spoken to them, because they could not bear what was commanded. If any of you or even an animal dares to touch this mountain, it must be stoned to death. The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, I'm trembling with fear. You didn't come to that, but you have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, to the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly. Can you imagine them worshiping full of joy? Millions and millions of angels celebrating. You have come to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all. There's no one whose word means more than his. There's no one whose determination counts for more weight than his. He is the judge of all. And you're in a covenant with him. To the spirits of the righteous been made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant. And you've come to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. The blood of Abel cried out for justice, and the blood of Jesus continually cries out for mercy. You have come to Jesus. Can you see him in his glory? Would you just ask him, Lord, would you speak to me right now? And just listen to what he has to say to you. When I am afraid, Lord, I will trust in you. And I will put my eyes on the God that I love and whose word I praise. And I will lift up the prayers to the God of my life. Father, right now I take command over fear in your people and I say in Jesus' name, you're an imposter and you may not hold another second of the life of the people of God. I break you off them. But I release, Lord, in its place, great peace. Right now, I release peace and joy and victory. Confidence. And we say, Lord, with confidence, like David said, with my God, I can scale a wall. With my God, I can advance against an army. It is he who trains my hands for battle, and my arms can bend a bow of bronze. He gives me the shield of victories. My enemies fall at my feet. Praise be to my God, the rock. And we thank you, Father, for breakthrough in the lives of people this week. Breakthrough in every multiplied area. Because we choose to put our eyes on you in Jesus' name. Amen.